consideration and legality of the object and consideration. Well, friends, this topic is about quid pro quo, which means to get something in return. And therefore, a person gives something to get something in return is the simple meaning of the terminology, consideration. Section 2D defines consideration as when at the desire of the promisor, the promisee or any other person has done or abstained from doing, does or abstains from doing, or promises to do or abstain from doing something. Such an act, abstinence or promise is called consideration for the promise. The following are important essentials of consideration. Consideration must move at the desire of the promisor. Well, this indicates that any consideration, Mr. Promisee, you cannot do something voluntarily. You are required to do it only if you are asked by the promisor. A's house is obviously gutted with fire. B runs to extinguish the fire, calls the fire brigade and thereafter tells A, you will have to compensate me for the cab expenses that I have undertaken. Question arises, is A required to pay the money? No, A is not required because B has done an act voluntarily without the desire of the promisor. Had A asked B to do and said, please call the fire brigade and see that the fire at my place is extinguished, I shall pay you for the same. In that case, B would have been in a position to claim the money. But in such a case, here B is unable to because consideration shall move only at the desire of the promisor. We have a famous case of Durga Das versus Baldev, wherein B was asked to have a marketplace constructed at the desire of, obviously, the person who had initiated it. But then Mr. B had constructed the market at the desire of the collector and not Mr. A. So here the question is, can the compensation be claimed? No, it cannot be claimed because consideration is not at the desire of the promisor. Consideration must move from the promisee or any other person. Stranger to a contract cannot sue. Rule number 2 signifies that here, obviously, a stranger to a contract is a third party who cannot sue on the same. The essence of this shall be explained by me shortly. Consideration may be past, present or future. Law as to past consideration is valid in India, but in England it is invalid. Consideration may be an act of doing, abstaining from doing something, or it may be an act of forbearance or abstinence. Well, friends, I shall explain point number 2. Chinnaya versus Ramayya is a case study on consideration must move from the promisee or any other person. In England, the two parties are the promisor and the promisee, whereby only these two can enter into a contract. The third party is a stranger both to the contract as well as to the consideration, whereby both are invalid under English law. In India, the same rule holds good, but a stranger to a consideration can sue. Now, to highlight this, I have a case study of Chinnaya versus Ramayya. A, an old lady, gifted all her property unto her daughter D and told her, you will have to pay a fixed annuity to my brother, one Mr. C. The daughter entered into a contract with the brother, namely the uncle, and promised to pay the annuity. She soon gets married and forgets to pay the annuity to the uncle, the brother of A. Question is, can the brother, that is the uncle, file a suit with the niece to claim the money? Under Indian law, you can, because stranger to a consideration can sue. The uncle being a beneficiary in the contract, although the contract is entered by the mother and the daughter, the uncle being a beneficiary can sue the daughter to claim the amount. And this is the meaning of consideration, obviously, can move not only from the promisee but any other person. Consideration may be past, present or future. Any act which is done in the past wherein it is before the contract is made is called as a past consideration. A tells B, can you look after my younger brother? I shall pay you something in future. Now, if A has done this act in the past, it is deemed to be a valid consideration under Indian law. Present consideration, an act which moves along with a promise and is done simultaneously, as in the case of a cash sale, is called as a present consideration. Future, anything which is yet to be done, as in the case of a credit sale, wherein the money is to be parted only at a future point of time, is a credit transaction, which is future, so that consideration may be past, present or future. Consideration is an act of doing. Here, the surety tells the creditor that I will give you the surety provided you help my friend, the principal debtor, with the goods. This is a positive act. What is the meaning of abstaining? It means to refrain or not to do. To give you a very simple illustration, the husband tells the wife, you require money as maintenance when we are filing a case for divorce, right? But now my compromise or my understanding is that you will not file a case against me. This is called abstaining from doing, which means it is valid, whereby it is an out-of-court settlement, so that the husband tells the wife not to file a suit in return for what? In return for more money, is called abstaining. Or it could be an act or any kind of a promise. A tells B, I will part with my car provided you pay the money. B tells A, I shall part with the money provided you pay or render the car to me, is a future promise which is valid in law. Consideration need not be adequate. Consideration must be real and not illusory. Consideration must not be unlawful, illegal, immoral, or opposed to public policy. Performance of an existing obligation is no consideration, while forbearance to sue is a good consideration. Well, friends, what does this mean? Consideration need not be adequate. A sells his property worth rupees 1 lakh for a sum of rupees 50,000. Is this consideration valid? Yes. The court is not here to judge whether the amount is commensurate with the market value. The consideration must have some value. It need not be in accordance with the market rate, because the courts are not here to judge whether it is adequate or inadequate. So consideration need not be equal to the market value of the article. It must be real and not illusory. Friends, illusory means imaginary. A tells B, I'll give you a gold ring if you get a dead man alive. Is it possible? No, it's impossible. A tells B, fine, I'll get the moon from the sky and I will pay you this amount. Is this okay? No, it is not, because this consideration is unreal. So something which is not genuine is called illusory. Consideration must not be unlawful. A tells B, if you beat or murder C, I will pay you the money. This is unlawful. Now, what is the difference between unlawful and illegal? Illegal has a criminal taint, whereas unlawful is something where the object or the purpose of the design is obviously illegal. Immoral. So unlawful is slightly milder, illegal is a very severe criminal content wherein all illegal agreements are unlawful, but all unlawful agreements are not necessarily illegal. They are immoral or opposed to public policy. Anything which goes against the norms of society or public morality is said to be illegal. Performance of an existing obligation is no consideration. A has told B, you obviously have to appear in a court because I have given a summons. B says, you will pay the money to get an adjournment in a court. This is not a valid consideration because you are primarily under a public duty to appear in the court premises. So any money for the purposes of adjournment or postponement is obviously against a public duty, which is invalid in law. Well, friends, we move to the importance of consideration. Consideration is the price for which the promise of the other is bought, and the promise thus given for value is enforceable. Thus, consideration is the backbone and a very essential element of any contract to create legal rights between the parties. The evidence of intention of the parties is supplied by consideration only in India as opposed to England, because in England, contracts even without consideration, fine, they are deemed to be valid because in England, they are called as speciality contracts which are required always to be in writing under seal. It is only under the Indian scenario that consideration is required always to be there in every contract because any agreement without consideration is void ab initio. When is an agreement without consideration said to be valid? An agreement made on account of natural love and affection, parties to compensate for past voluntary services, a promise to pay a time-barred debt, an agreement to create an agency, and gifts do not require consideration. Well, my dear friends, I would explain each one of them with an illustration. Agreements made on account of natural love and affection. Section 25.1. It is often said, ex nudo pacto non oritur actio. On a bare act or on an agreement without consideration, the agreement is void because it is like a naked or a bare promise, wherein there is no consideration. So that is the reason that we normally say an agreement without consideration is a void agreement and therefore void ab initio. To this section 25, we have the following exceptions. An agreement made out of natural love and affection. Section 25.1 states, an agreement, provided it is in writing, it is registered, out of natural love and affection between the parties who stand in a near relationship to each other, is valid without consideration. Well, friends, to give you a very simple illustration, A, an elder brother, tells the younger brother, you owe a sum of rupees 1,000 to a third party. The younger brother requests the elder brother, can you pay this for me? The elder brother gives an instrument in writing. It is registered out of natural love and affection between A and B, who are in a near relationship with each other, is perfectly valid. And therefore, if the elder brother does not pay the third party, the younger brother is entitled to file a suit even without consideration moving from A. And this is the case of Venkataswamy versus Rangaswamy. To give you one more illustration, Rajlukhi Devi versus Bhutnath. The husband has been often quarreling with his wife and told her, I shall give you a separate house to stay so that we can live separately. The wife tells the husband, okay, right, we shall have it done immediately. The wife the husband, sorry, here is now executing an instrument. The question is, does the wife attract section 25 too? The wife does not attract section 25 too for the simple reason that although it is an instrument in writing which is registered, it is not made out of love and affection between the parties. So where love and affection is absent, section 25(1) is not attracted. Past voluntary services. An act done in the past or something which the promisor was already compelled to do is perfectly valid. As we have already said, the younger brother is looked after by a relative. The friend says, for this past act, I will pay you something in future. So these past services are deemed to be valid even without consideration. Thirdly, a time-barred debt. Every debt has a period of 3 years. After 3 years, it becomes time-barred. A tells B, I shall pay you this money of a sum of rupees 1,000, right, within a period of 3 years. 3 years lapses. Now, what does the third party do? He now files a suit. To avoid this, the debtor tells or gives an undertaking to the creditor, sir, here is a promise made by me in writing so that instead of 1,000 rupees, I shall pay you 800 rupees in full and final settlement. Is this valid? Yes, friends, it is perfectly valid because in the event of a time-barred debt, the creditor would have to file a fresh case against the debtor. So, if he is in a position to waive or relinquish his rights for a lesser sum of money, this is valid even without consideration, provided it is an instrument which is in writing and it is an acknowledgement by the debtor offering to pay the sum of money unto the creditor. Agency. An agency is valid without consideration because normally here is a presumption that the principal, when he gives any task to be done unto the agent can do it even without consideration, which we call in our language gratuitous. Gratuitous means even without payment of money. So, if an agent does a task for the principal, even without money, it is deemed to be valid under section 225 D, section 25(3) of the Indian Contract Act. And finally, any gifts between the donor and donee, even without near relationship between the parties, is valid without consideration. We have the following kinds of consideration. Executed consideration, when both the parties have completed their respective obligation. A asks B, kindly paint this portrait for me. B has completed the painting and A has obviously paid the money, is one wherein both the parties having fulfilled their respective obligations is called as an executed consideration. Executory, that which is yet to be done. A tells B, I shall sell this goods after 2 months, and once I give the sale after 2 months, you shall pay me after the delivery is executed. So where both the parties are yet to undertake or fulfill their respective obligations, it is called executory. Past consideration. It is an act which is already done before the promise. So, any act which is already done in the past wherein A has rendered services unto B and B pays, makes a payment in future is called as a past consideration. Unlawful. Unlawful consideration is one wherein the object or the purpose or the design is not lawful. And therefore, where A tells B, I will drop a prosecution case against you if obviously you restore the property back to me, is an unlawful object wherein the purpose or design is not legal. We call it as an unlawful consideration. unreal or illusory, that which is uncertain or which is imaginary, as an example which I have already illustrated, bringing a dead man alive, or bringing the Taj from Delhi to Mumbai, which is impossible, is an illusory consideration. Unlawful consideration. A consideration is said to be unlawful when it is forbidden by law. It is of such a nature that if permitted, it would defeat the provisions of any law. It is fraudulent, involves or implies injury to the person or property of another. And finally, the court regards it as immoral or opposed to public policy. Friend, what does this indicate? It is forbidden. Any act of gambling, any act of smuggling, any act wherein the law says it is not permitted is called forbidden by law. It is of such a nature, if permitted, it defeats the provisions of any law. A runs into a business with B under the Excise Act and says, I will carry on licensing and I will bring B as a partner with me. Under the Excise Act, it is a presumption that partnership agreements are not allowed. Now, this is a provision which would defeat the provisions of the Excise Act and therefore deemed to be an unlawful consideration. Fraudulent. If three people divide the gains of robbery and say, right, we distribute it amongst ourselves, and if one of them doesn't part with the money, can you proceed in a court of law to recover the same? No, it cannot be, because it is fraudulent. It involves an injury to the person or property of another. Any person who obviously destroys the damage or obviously destroys the property or undertakes any kind of a slander on the reputation of a person and says this will be indemnified is considered immoral, whereby it is involves an injury to the person or property of another. Finally, the court regards it as immoral or opposed to public policy. A tells B, I shall marry you only after you obtain a divorce from the husband. Now here is the money lender who says, once you obtain the divorce, here am I ready to undertake a marriage contract with you. Now this is one wherein any sort of a concubinage, which is any living without marriage, is said to be immoral, which goes against the norms of society. Agreements held to be against public policy. Any trading with an enemy, whereby any contract with an alien enemy is deemed to be disqualified under law. Champerty and maintenance contracts. Champerty means to give a financial assistance to a third party, wherein maintenance is one whereby you are recovering the money out of the sale proceeds which are deemed to be void contracts. Stifling prosecutions, where the offender is not sought to be prosecuted for an unlawful act, is stifling prosecution. A marriage brokerage agreement, any agreement which interferes with the administration of judges or justice, whereby a person tries to bribe any officers of the court or legal process, is considered void. And any agreements tending to create any interest against duty or any kind of monopoly agreements are said to be void contracts. Agreements held to be against public policy. Any agreement as regards sale of public offices. Any agreements tending to create monopoly, wherein obviously we have a local authority and the local authority is trying to tell any kind of a vendor that I would try to create a monopoly in a particular area, is considered void, wherein this is an agreement tending to create a monopoly which is not permitted in law. Any agreement in restraint of marriage, an agreement whereby anyone is prevented from marrying any person as per his choice of the spouse, is regarded void. An agreement in restraint of trade. It means Article 19 of the Constitution says, Every person can practice any trade, profession or occupation. So if any one person prevents another from practicing any trade or profession of his choice, is considered void under the Indian Contract Act. Agreement in restraint of legal proceedings. If a person commits a wrong, a individual asking the opposite party not to proceed legally or to reduce the period of limitation is considered void. And finally, an agreement to defraud any kind of a creditor, so that these are agreements which are void ab initio under the Indian Contract Act. Well, friends, I think we are now in a position to understand what exactly are void agreements, and to the extent that consideration and unlawful consideration are vital, important aspects, we are now in a position to understand the essence of consideration, wherein sections 25 are areas where agreements without consideration are valid, so that we have now understood where ex nudo pacto non oritur actio has certain exceptions to the rule. Thank you very much.